Welcome to Discover Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today we've got another DF4Q episode. DF4Q, very quickly, is the Discover Film 4 Questions. That's favorite movie, an underrated movie, an overrated movie, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. Today we're going to get the DF4Q answered by a pair of filmmakers, two guys who combined their efforts in the great short film New Age Old English. It's writer-director Hayden Croft and producer and lead actor J.F. Tomosky. Hayden, do you have any idea how hard it is to say Hayden and Jay, like in a row? Jay and Hayden, Hayden and Jay. It's not that easy. If you're really smart, you'll go to discoverfilm.net, where you can get a link to their film, New Age Old English. But in the meantime, let's find out what their answers are for the DF4Q.
I'll take the first one, I guess.
All right. Yeah. So the first one will go to Hayden.
Okay.
Just so people listening know who I'm looking at.
All right.
All right, Hayden. You can go up to three, but your favorite films of all time.
Okay. I think, and these are the ones that I think are personally, I'm just going to say these are my favorite films, and these are a mixture of both the best films and my favorite films. So I'm going to say The Godfather, can't go wrong there. Big Lebowski, popular choice, I know, very popular choice, but that's because it's so good, you know, it's a film buff's classic, you know what I mean? And that's why, is because it's awesome. And my other one, my last one, I will say is Doctor Strangelove. I love, love, love Doctor Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. Fantastic film. Stanley Kubrick, probably my favorite. I love Clockwork Orange too, but I'd probably put, honestly, Doctor Strangelove is not only, you know, this horrible dystopian like thing, but it's hilarious. And that's why it's, I love that. Peter Sellers, oh my God. Yeah. I love the film. Love
you, you and I would get along well. Because those are, I've been to Lebowski Fest. My ex-wife has our Big Lebowski Last Supper
nice
poster above the mantle.
I love that. One of my friends has that shirt. You know, I could come up with a lot more.
No, and as has been stated, mm-hmm. this is favorites. It's not best of all time. It's not, you know, like I could ask you if technically there's Coen Brothers movies that you think are better films than mm-hmm. Big Lebowski. It's just Big Lebowski is the most fun, the most entertaining, the most repeat viewable.
Mm-hmm. And if you were to ask me that question, because I do have a Coen Brothers film that's on my overrated list as well. But I would say potentially No Country for Old Men could be maybe considered a technically better film. But I don't even know about that. Like, Lebowski is so good on so many levels. You notice something new about it every single time. And, you know, it's a populist choice, but that's why it's like people want to be contrarians, you know? Mm-hmm. People want to say like, oh, Dark Knight wasn't that good or something like that. Yes, it was. That's why it's so popular. That's why everybody likes it, is because it was amazing.
Yeah. And it's not like the Coen brothers slacked off because they were making one of their comedies. The filmmaking in it, the cinematography, the dream sequences, it's still
the character,
a brilliantly made film.
World building. Yeah.
It's this whole bias against comedy.
Yeah.
That when you're, the comedies are less technically brilliant.
Uh-huh.
So yes.
Definitely.
All right. Well, now it's Jay's turn for your favorites.
Yeah.
For some of my favorites, Hayden and I were going back and forth on this last night as well, and I had like an entire list. It's so difficult for me to choose. But if I'm going to do by like viewability for me, I'd have to say either Inglourious Basterds, if I'm going to keep it sort of current, Casino. I love Casino. Martin Scorsese, Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro are probably my favorite actors. And if I'm going like old school, North by Northwest.
Oh, you bastard. Yeah. I love that one too.
Probably one of my favorite.
Oh my God. North by Northwest is amazing.
Yeah. That's such a classic for me. It's
my favorite. That's my favorite Hitchcock movie.
Is it?
It is.
That is such a great film.
Oh God, I love that film.
Yeah.
That is. Those are three great choices.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, cause I was having such a hard time, like, and when it wasn't until he said, like, well, what comes to mind for you? And I was like, well, you know what this does? These are the three that...
Yeah, because you sometimes feel like you're betraying, like, your other ones. Like, if I had thought of North by Northwest, I probably would have put that somewhere. But it's just like, you know, it's like you're like, what comes to mind? You know, you can't express all of your favorite films in three or five or ten, probably.
Guys like us,
movies, I mean... It's going to be like 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
But.
No, and I'm glad. You made me so happy with Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, that's good. I think that film doesn't get its just desserts, actually.
I've heard Tarantino say that he thinks that, like, if he's going to be studied, like, he's being modest about it, he will be. Mm-hmm. The decades
to come. He already is being
studied. Yeah, well, I mean, like, I guess more of, like, after he died kind of thing.
Yeah.
That he thinks Inglourious Basterds will be, like, considered in a lot of ways, like, his best film or his masterpiece.
The film that he's going to be known for, like...
Right.
It is his masterpiece. It's sort of, I mean, such a... And, I mean, I consider Reservoir Dogs a masterpiece.
Yeah, Kill Bill.
Django
was amazing.
Pulp Fiction, obviously.
Django I cut off the last 20 minutes.
Really? Like, yeah, I mean, I... Yeah.
Even,
like,
Jackie Actually, after Brown, you see him...
Like,
even
Jackie... Every movie
I
loved, does.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of his.
Sure.
But I think Inglourious Basterds is really special.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Particularly the filmmaking of it. You're particularly right. the storytelling of it.
Yes. Yeah.
I can go on and on about just that opening scene.
Yeah.
The scene where Shoshana is just Shoshana at that table full of Germans and the guy who killed her whole family. And you don't see him once. It's on her face the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I once was... on a flight from LA to Paris with her.
Really?
And I wanted to go, "You're so amazing!"
You know? Yeah.
Scare the shit out of her.
Au revoir, Shoshana! She's like when she walks off the plane.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That would not have been funny.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't have been.
Yeah, she'd lost her fucking mind.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, I don't know. We could just get carried away talking about parts
but
of the
I,
film.
But I do
love
think
that
film is... By far, his greatest
God.
Tour.
Yeah. I was so looking forward to that film. Like when I was like 22 or whatever in college, I saw like the earliest teaser. Like, and I would show all my friends. I'd be like, I cannot wait until this movie comes out. Oh my God! You know, it'd start that trailer 10 hot. You know, and all of it.
And he'd fought for it for so long to get it made and get it made the way he wanted.
It's got such a great cast.
And like the tagline on the poster, "Once upon a time in Nazi-occupied France."
Yeah.
Like, ugh, Jesus, God.
Well, and it's so, and I'm a history buff.
Yeah.
Like I will actually read a history book for fun.
Yeah.
And the way he portrayed occupied Paris, so accurate.
Yeah.
And then he goes ahead and has them successfully kill Hitler.
Yeah, like,
which is,
like
I thought that was when I saw that. I was like, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like because you're thinking like, okay, well they're gonna fail
because
like Hitler didn't die because like every other film you got to adhere to history, not Quentin Tarantino,
not his universe,
not DT.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
So great. That will be that one. So, you made me happy.
Oh, great.
It doesn't make my top three, but I'm so happy it's in the top three.
Yes.
Jay gets to do question two first, since Hayden got to do question one first. So that is...
Underrated?
An underrated film.
So I was torn here between, like, again, 50. but for my underrated, I would probably have to either narrow it down to What's Eating Gilbert Grape? With Leonardo DiCaprio and Johnny Depp. I thought Leo's performance in that was absolutely incredible. And he just... I think he did actually get nominated for that, but I just
he
don't
did,
think...
He did, yeah.
The credit to that followed him through his career. I think whoever hasn't seen that movie needs to see that, especially if you're an actor. Go see What's Eating Gilbert Grape and just concentrate on Leo's performance because it is absolutely mind-blowing. That and Bronson. Bronson is a Tom Hardy film. I actually saw that on Netflix the month it came out a few years ago. It was like 2018.
You told me about it.
Yeah.
I remember like before I had seen it and then I saw it. It's about a real guy.
It's, it's
the
true
most
story.
Dangerous British prisoner in like the British prison system.
He's just
like
insane. But Tom Hardy turned it into like a stage performance and it's brilliant. And I don't think a lot of foreign films like don't get, you know, just because we live in LA and the United States, we have access to so many things, but there are things that are mostly local, you know, local, by local, I mean like big huge budget movies with huge name actors. So when you get something like, and you see something like that, it's just like, that movie made him my favorite actor.
And I think there's a bias with foreign films that we go for the costume dramas and sort of the important ones.
Right.
And if that's like a gritty, rough around the edges film, you probably don't get it here.
Yeah.
Right. Guy Ritchie is like one of the only British directors. I mean, he's great. I love his films.
Although I haven't seen the last few. But.
Yeah, I mean, me neither. Well, I might.
But Lock, Stock, and Snatch are two great films.
Yeah,
hell yeah. Rock and Rolla and Revolver are also great.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes
was
good.
You just have to. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to skip the one with the made with Madonna. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Was it his fault?
Right.
No, he's
she made him.
Definitely a great filmmaker.
Yeah.
But those were my underrated. I mean, I just think they were. And I sort of based mine off of, performance based. But as a whole, those two movies together, they're great.
Well, I haven't seen Bronson, but Gilbert Grape is a great film.
Yeah.
I even think that Johnny Depp is underlooked on that film.
Yeah.
Because Leo got so much attention.
Mm-hmm.
But what he does, subtly holding the whole thing together.
Yeah, he's the glue of the family.
Really great.
It's super touching and really
in a literal sense and in an acting sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So how about you? What was yours?
Okay, so my underrated ones are one was actually Jackie Brown, but we won't get into it okay, so I got. And I went a little bit just outside, a little bit goofier here. Dewey Cox, Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. Everybody always talks crap on that movie, and I heard it was bad when it came out. And I heard it was, dumb and don't see it and everything like that. And then I saw it, and it's awesome. It's so funny. It's, stupid funny, but it's great.
That Kristen Wiig is better known, too, you'd think people would go back to it.
Right.
Yeah. She's so funny in that.
Yeah, No, I mean,
I'm a 19-year-old woman.
The wrong kid died.
Wrong kid died.
oh, my God. I mean, there's so many famous people in that movie. Jonah Hill. The Bob Dylan part where he's singing like Dylan, but it just makes no sense at all.
Tell his kids and you can call me Dewdrop.
Yeah,
I get you saying I get you because it is a lot of people did shit on it.
People talk shit on Dewey Cox and I don't think it deserves it. I think that's a great movie. Okay, so my last one because I'll just Payback with Mel Gibson.
Oh yeah.
Payback,
yeah,
that's one that you don't hear much talk at all about it.
That one's super gritty.
Yeah, that one is like a R-rated Gibson film that a lot of people haven't seen, but before his fall from grace a little bit back when he was still
The fall. I thought it was comeback.
It was 97.
Right before he snapped.
It was before.
That's a great film.
But yeah,
so it was a Liam Neeson movie before Liam Neeson. It
was it was Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson. It was right at the same time, I think, that Lethal Weapon 4 came out.
The last one came out.
It's hard. It's such a shame. And it's so hard to remember just how unbelievably cool he was.
Yeah.
And the tagline, was great. Get ready to root for the bad guy.
Yeah.
So that was the classic anti-hero, tagline. Yeah. Great, I won't say it, but it's a great film. Yeah.
No. I'm guilty of not seeing it.
That's all right.
Check it out.
We have the technology.
Yeah,
I know. Seriously.
Definitely. Some of these things are hard to find now. I mean, we're talking about Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and all that. Yet, if they don't have it, it's not like it was when Blockbuster was around.
No, you just go rent it somewhere.
Rent
you know
it.
What I do?
What?
I get it from LA Public Library.
That's what I do, yeah. Man. That's funny.
Burbank Library.
That.
You guys have a really good library.
Yeah.
There's a great film section.
You know I do that.
Actually, I pull them out and I rip them to the computer and then I watch them on Apple TV.
There you go.
Nice. I always loved the video store. I grew up with the video store. I'm sure you know, we both did.
That's something that a lot of filmmakers and I have been bemoaning in here around this microphone is that when you went in Saturday night to Blockbuster and just scanned the spines until you found something you hadn't heard of, that was a different experience. You just can't go on Amazon Prime or Netflix anymore.
It's just not the same.
No, you used to be able to do it on Netflix because there was tons of indies that you'd never heard of.
Yeah,
but they dropped them all in favor of their own content.
But I mean, just the physical experience of like walking through the aisles, you know, and they'd always had that smell of popcorn, you know, which is kind of like because they'd sell popcorn. And like there was like Blockbuster and then Hollywood Video, and I was kind of more of a Hollywood Video guy personally. But, like, you know, I remember when I first moved out here in, like, 2012, there was, like, two Blockbusters still open around, like...
Yeah.
Remember there was that Buena Vista?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I think they should have, like, one or two still open, just for nostalgia's sake, you know?
How about, what were your overrated?
My overrateds? Okay. Okay, so I got three overrateds, and these might be contested. These are all pretty big, like, contesters. Okay, so I told you one of mine was a Coen Brothers movie, Fargo. I think the film Fargo is a tiny bit overrated. I'm not saying I hate it. I'm not saying I even dislike it. I like the film. I just think, like, as a Coen Brothers movie goes, it's not my favorite, and I think people play it up so much that it's like, and I love the show series that's come out on FX.
It has been great. Yeah.
I love it.
Season 2, I think, was one of the best things I've seen in forever.
Do I not say that? I say that season 2 was like probably
out of this world good.
Probably one of my favorite seasons of anything ever on TV. Season 2 of Fargo. And season 1 was phenomenal.
It was great.
Yeah, and I love season 3. I just think it was probably the weakest, but I mean, it was Ewan McGregor, can't go wrong. It was great. It was
like, great, but season 2 was something special. It was like the
amazing.
It was one of the few things I thought that was like Breaking Bad caliber
TV. Yeah, it was a thing that I would like put over even like most Game of Thrones season. And I mean, that's for me, it's huge. I value Game of Thrones more than most people, you know, but like season 2 of Fargo was nuts.
Right. But back to the film. I get what you're saying because I've said it repeatedly on this podcast that saying something's overrated doesn't mean you don't like it.
Exactly.
It just means that the groundswell of our culture around it is making it more of it than it should.
Sure.
So fine, Fargo.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay, so that's my first one. And then second one, Aviator. Martin Scorsese, The Aviator. And this one, I can honestly say, I'm not even a huge fan of them. Like, this isn't like Fargo. I actually do not enjoy Aviator that much. I think it's way too long. I mean, all Scorsese's films are very long. But I think it's just long without being entertaining. Like, Wolf of Wall Street was all the way through exciting and fun. And the soundtrack and all the craziness of it. It deserved its 3-hour runtime. Aviator was just, I just couldn't get into it. I don't know. And that's just my opinion.
I'm not sure anyone got into it.
Yeah. Did you guys
the only reason I would argue with you on this one is that I'm not sure anyone says it's good.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard people say
I got one great benefit from that film, though, which is it convinced me to wash my hands a lot, and then I stopped getting colds.
There you go.
Because I watched Howard Hughes washing his hands like, obsessively, like, and I was, instead of being horrified, I'm like, kind of a good idea.
It might have saved your life.
Saved me on those cruise ships,
maybe,
right?
Maybe it did. And then, okay, my last third one here is, again, this might be, okay, Alien. Mm-hmm. The first Alien. Ridley Scott's Alien. And, again, I don't dislike Alien. I just think it's a little bit overrated. I like it being, like, the first kind of, like, monster in a spaceship type movie. I think that element's cool. There's just, I just think it again, it's a little bit overrated. That's not to,
like, right. We're talking but you like about. It, but
I like
when
it.
People hail it as the greatest sci-fi ever.
I've right. seen it said it's the greatest sci-fi or the greatest horror that ever yeah. made. I don't know about that, but like, you know,
yeah.
I like Aliens. The we were talking about,
JC's.
Yeah. JC. Yeah. You know, I think that's.
Not Jesus Christ. James Cameron.
Yeah, can't. There's confusion. Yeah.
Often. Just clear the air.
Right. Yeah, no, I honestly, I prefer Aliens, if I were going to say. I think it's a lot more fun and just, like, cool and, you know.
Yeah.
So one of the rare examples where, you know, how, like, the simplicity of the first one is usually what makes it so cool. And then they try to get, like, crazy with the second one and increase the scope, and that's what makes it, that's what its downfall, you know. This is a case where I think the increased scope made it better.
Yeah,
honestly.
Well, yeah, and Cameron was brilliant that he didn't try to do a new version of the first, just bigger and better. He just made a different type of film.
Yeah.
I love
more that. Aliens, more people, guns. Yeah. Like, they were actually successfully killing some of the aliens.
Yeah.
It was just like a, yeah, you know. Bill Paxton, of course, like we were saying.
He's it's a great movie. To me, they're both great movies.
I have to stick with Alien because my dog is named after Ellen Ripley. So, got it.
Well, she's got the whole series. She's in, what, four of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Winona Ryder one.
Yeah, she is like one of the greatest actresses of our time. Yeah. I'm not even sure she gets her just desserts.
No. That's a whole other
she's great.
Discussion of like favorite actors and overrated, underrated.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
We can go all day on that.
You could.
Definitely. Forget it.
Definitely.
But instead, we'll get your overrated.
Am I overrated? I'm going to get murdered for this, but it was La La Land. I thought it was overrated. I thought it was good. I just didn't. You know, it didn't really click with me the way it clicked with a lot of people. That and Interview with a Vampire. I don't know why.
Okay.
I like it. I thought it was good. You know, I thought it was great when it came out. I just think it's slightly overrated.
I'm not sure you're going to get raked over the coals for that.
No. A
lot of people have chosen La La Land, really.
Yeah. I like Interview. Well, I'm not raking over. Not for La La Land. I like Interview with a Vampire. I mean, it's not like. One of the main reasons I like it's because I love Tom Cruise as the villain, and he so rarely does it.
Yeah.
It's only that and Collateral, and Collateral's amazing.
Yeah,
that's a Michael Mann that I do love.
Yeah.
That and Heat, two great Michael Mann films. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I respect the choice. You know, it's interesting. Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise is like kind of early like British accents.
Yeah,
not so great. Yeah. You know, but
I just think it was one of those movies that had two at the time. You know, they still are, but when they did that movie, they were fucking enormous.
They were,
you know, and it was just like impossible for them to not have such a you know, be praised for their roles in this film. And I just thought it was. Okay. I just thought they did okay. I mean, I don't think it was Brad Pitt's best work. I don't think it was Tom Cruise's best work.
I skipped it. I wasn't even interested.
Kirsten Dunst was probably the best of it.
Yeah. Kirsten Dunst.
She was awesome.
That was like her, that was her best work.
Yeah, that was her best work.
Like, honestly, until Fargo season 2.
I was going to say,
because
that was a huge comeback.
I did not like Kirsten Dunst until I saw Fargo season 2. I always said the Interview with the Vampire was her best work as a child, better than anything, Spider-Man, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Until she did, you know, come on, babe. You know, clock's ticking.
Yeah.
You know,
she was Virgin Suicides, too, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I think that was actually very good.
Well,
that might have been really good
for her. No, that was good.
But yes, she what she did in Fargo season 2 blew me away. So great.
All of them doing that.
Did she get an Emmy?
She should have. Damn well should have.
No one pays attention to Emmys.
Yeah.
There's just too many TV shows.
There's too many, I watch the Oscars, but...
And by the way, La La Land, I'll share, I couldn't stand first viewing.
Really?
And then... Last December on that damn cruise ship, it was playing like 3 times a day on the TV in the room.
Oh,
and I fell in love with it. And I came to that conclusion. I'm like, so, you know, it's partially the expectations game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It makes me cry now.
Yeah.
I watched that fucking movie.
Yeah.
And I start to tear up in the opening segment. And all the stuff I thought that sucked in between till you get to the great ending.
Yeah.
Is actually really good. I was like, oh, fuck. So I was the asshole who was close-minded.
Damien Chazelle, he's like 4 years older than us. Like, and he wrote and directed that thing. Fuck him, man. Yeah.
He has no right. God. But like, so I've actually completely come around, and now I think. Yeah.
I don't know, I won't watch it again, but I thought it was like pretty good. When there was that snafu with Best Picture, I was like, I don't know about Best Picture. Yeah, you know, I was like, I wasn't huge on Moonlight either, to tell you the truth.
It was a weird year.
It was kind of a diversity thing.
I think what deserved to win was Arrival, but...
Yeah, Arrival.
Because nothing good. There was no... What deserved to win...
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Was, and maybe you didn't see, it was Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh, that was at Sundance the year that I was there.
Yeah.
I've never heard
of it. It was the best movie of the year, by far. I've seen it twice.
Who's in it again?
It's Sam Neill. And it's actually directed by the New Zealand guy who did all the Flight of the Conchords stuff.
Oh, really?
And I'm forgetting his name, but he also did...
Isn't that Taika Waititi guy?
It is.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, it is.
Because, yeah, and I mean, that's another reason to see Thor Ragnarok. I love Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, so see his... when you said his name, I'm like, I think that's the Wilder People guy.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that film.
I was bummed that it didn't.
I always get it confused because I was like Swiss Army Man, and then the one with Viggo Mortensen and his family that like live in the wilderness.
Captain
Fantastic.
That was a great movie,
right? Because those were all at Sundance when I was there, so I always get them conflated in my head. But
Do you have a lesser known film?
Oh yeah.
thank you for pushing it along.
Yeah, I forgot about that last one. Okay. So I got like a bunch here, but I'll stick it to three. Okay, so first one, I Love You, Philip Morris, with Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor. Yeah. And reason for that, honestly, is because I think that movie got a bum rap when it was made in 2007. Have you seen that, Jeff?
I think I did.
It's fantastic. It came out, it was made in 2007, and then it was released in Europe because a lot of gay content in it. And I think the studios felt like it might not play in America so well. So it wasn't released here until 2010, and it was a limited release. And so I just remember like hearing about it, and I thought it was about like Marlboro, like the cig, because it's like Philip Morris, you know. But it just happened to be the guy's name, and it's a true story, which is the craziest goddamn thing you've ever heard. Because like the guy that Jim Carrey plays, Stephen Russell, was like a real life con man. Got to be one of the smartest, most clever con. He escaped from jail 5 times. And they show how it's. Nuts. It's such a good movie. It's a great romance too.
Yeah.
You know, and like I'm not one of these people that's like, you know, like Brokeback Mountain, like, oh, what are you, a fag or something? You're gonna go see Brokeback Mountain. Like, no, man, it's a great love story, you know, like grow up, you know? And so it's like that's exactly how I feel about it. I love it. It's beautiful, honestly. Like I love Ewan McGregor. Like Ewan McGregor, I love Jim Carrey too, but Ewan McGregor's like a special favorite of mine, and like just the love story between those two guys is amazing. It's great. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. So I really think that I've talked to a lot of people that have never even heard of it. So I would love to think
I saw it, but now that you're describing it, maybe I didn't.
You gotta see it, man. It's so good. Like the cover is a great cover. It's like Ewan McGregor and Jim Carrey like doing this pose where it makes a heart, but it's like them both doing this, you know, with their feet like down. So it's like kind of a
hey, Jim Carrey's a special person too.
Oh, Jim Carrey's amazing. Yeah, no
doubt.
Did you
see Andy and Jim on Netflix?
I did. Yeah,
amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God, that guy committed. Like, oh my God, that wrestler guy that he kept
Jerry
like fucking with. Yeah, yeah, Jesus, like he took.
I feel bad for Lawler.
Yeah, Lawler like hit him at one point.
I mean, Lawler was like. Andy and I were friends.
Yeah.
Andy was cool with me. If he's being Andy, like, he should be cool with me.
Yeah. It was an act with Andy. This dude's not. I love, like, Danny DeVito is even, like, the producer on set. Yeah. He's talking to the director. He's like, what are we going to do?
Yeah. Judd Hirsch, who played, the guy, Alex Rieger.
Yeah.
And he's looking over Jim Carrey going, I got to put up with this shit for a second time.
Yeah.
Andy was bad enough. But here, you have a third.
Yeah. I'll just real quick. Yeah, I'll run through it. Leon the Professional with Jean Reno.
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, Natalie Portman when she was that's like her first role when she was 12. Fantastic. Gary Oldman.
Yeah, Gary. Yeah,
as the villain. Great villain there by Gary Oldman. Fucking nuts performance. And then just speed through it. And then The Mission. Roland Hoff directed. Ennio Morricone, I think, literally. I mean, I know this is a bold statement, what I'm about to say. I think The Mission might have the best soundtrack of any, score of any film I've almost ever seen.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that one.
Yeah, with maybe exceptions of, maybe the Star Wars, John Williams, and, a couple of Good, Bad, and the Ugly, which is also Morricone.
Yeah.
The Mission, Ennio Morricone, for God's sakes, listen to the score, I mean, if you can't see the movie, it's Robert De Niro and Jeremy Irons are, the two main guys. It's, Robert De Niro in, he's, a Spaniard, in the colonialist era.
Yeah.
And he has to, run away because of an honor killing when he, sword fought this dude and, killed him. And so he goes to this, mission in South America. And it's this native tribe, everybody that's gone has been killed by the tribe and to try to convert them and settle them. So De Niro becomes a Catholic priest and he goes to the, but he's kind of a wild dude himself. And it's just my mom used to crank the score. It's probably why it's in my head, at parties and stuff. And so it's just in my head is just when I hear it, I just go back to when I was I'm a little kid. And it's so amazing though. And I know nobody's heard of it, but for God's sake, the score of the film and I think the score almost especially, but the film is amazing as well. So definitely lesser known the Nero film, but
because when it came out, it was a big deal.
Yeah,
really big deal. It was an Oscar film.
That's what my mom said.
Yeah. But I guess it's one that's been lost to the ages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's sad, when that happens.
Yeah, I guess because it doesn't have that hook, films. I think it came out of the same era as, Raising Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was literally,
that's another great, lesser known, sort of, or underrated.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one.
Here, give us your...
I only had a couple. It was I had The Hitcher, the new one with Sean Bean and Sophia Bush. I think that's a lesser known sort of horror film, but not thriller, I would say.
I'd say a horror thriller.
Yeah. I think Sean Bean was excellent. I thought the story was great. There's the original one was Rutger Hauer, I think.
Yeah. The original one.
Thomas C. Howell or C.
Thomas Howell.
C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah. I thought that one. I like both of them. I love Rutger Hauer. I think he's amazing. And then for my second one, I had Lucky Number 11. With Josh Hartnett, Bruce Willis,
Morgan Freeman,
Ben Kingsley, Stanley Tucci, Tucci gang.
it's a great one. I completely agree with him on that one. That used to be. I was telling Jay when we were talking about this. It used to be the kind of deal where because when I was in film school and stuff because this was back when everybody would have DVD collections. Mm-hmm. It's not as many people. I mean, we still have a DVD case and stuff, but that's going the way of the dodo now, I think, too. But it was a prerequisite that if you were a film buff, you would have Lucky Number 11. Mm-hmm. But now it's The Mission. It's kind of being
it's sort of forgotten with the time.
Swept under the rug a little bit.
Yeah. It's a great story of mistaken identity. It's they had a concept. They went with it. It was pretty cool when it came out.
It's post Tarantino gangster film.
Yeah.
But very successful and cool. Yeah. Josh Hartnett, really.
Yeah, because Hartnett kind of went away, right?
After that,
So I wonder if if his career had continued, maybe it would get
its... It was sort of like that, Black Dahlia.
Or was it Hollywoodland? I always get to... No, you're right, it was Black Dahlia.
Black Dahlia. Yeah. And then after that, he sort of like...
I mean, he was supposed to be the new Tom Cruise.
Exactly. Yeah.
He was supposed, I liked him. I don't know what happened,
I gotta tell you, those are some good lists. Here are the filmmakers on there. Coppola, Coen Brothers, Kubrick, Tarantino, Scorsese, and Hitchcock. Alright, so, you really should see New Age Old English. You can catch it at discoverfilm.net. You'll see what Hayden and Jay are all about. And while you're at discoverfilm.net, there's like 20 other great short films you can watch. There's links to feature films that you should see. There's links to the film festivals that I program. And I even threw a link to my personal website on there because you never know. I don't think there's anything left to say. Thanks for listening.